the longtime voice of the Denver Broncos, Dave Logan, kind enough to join us. And Dave, after the Super Bowl victory for you and all the big games with Peyton Manning and over the last couple of years, you've called some big ones, but now Oakland finally gets a big one in Oakland on Sunday Night Football. Assess the way the Raiders look from you from the Denver perspective.
Well, I tell you this, it's not a big surprise, really, that Oakland is playing good football this year. You know, when Jack Del Rio left here and went there, I thought he'd be able to get that thing turned around. They had a really good nucleus of young players, and I think they've made some smart additions in the offseason, especially on the defensive side of the ball. And also, I'm just a big believer in what Jack brings. He's, you know, he played in the league a long time. He was a hell of a good player. He brings an intensity to him. And so I think it's good. Honestly, JT, I think it's good for, certainly good for Denver fans and Oakland fans, but I would submit that it's even good for the entire league to have the Raiders back up and firmly in contention. And this rivalry is one, as you know, that dates all the way back to 1960. So I think Denver fans are looking forward to it. I can almost assure you, and you know better than I would, that Oakland fans are fired up about it as well.
Yeah, this is obviously a big game. Now, with Trevor Siemian now playing in the way he's playing, is he improving on the pace that you thought he would? What's the strength of his game coming into Sunday night in Oakland?
You know what? You cut out just a little bit. Who did you ask me about?
Yeah, we'll pick it up again. We'll start off with, let's go with Trevor Siemian and the ability for him to play now as the starter. How has he improved since he started his first game with the Broncos?
Yeah, you know what's been interesting to watch this young guy? I mean, frankly, when they acquired Mark Sanchez in the offseason, I really thought Sanchez would be the guy. And just the way that whole thing played out, I think Trevor Siemian just continued to go to work every day, and he's got a very calm demeanor, and it didn't seem too big for him. And then Gary decided at that point that he gave them the best chance to win. But he's got what we call a slow heartbeat, and nothing really affects him too much. He's really calm in the pocket. Doesn't have the feet that go everywhere. And now listen, he's taken a few shots. He's had a separated shoulder on his left shoulder that has bothered him. I think he's reasonably healthy, but I think he's a better player now than I expected him to be when he was named the starter right before the Carolina game. And he gives him a chance. He's got a good arm, and he's impressive from the pocket, and he's a smart guy. He's not an overly talented guy. He's not a guy you look at and say, man, this is a can't-miss dude, but he's a guy that can win. He's a guy that I think the Broncos like very much.
Dave Logan's our guest, the voice of the Broncos. With C.J. Anderson and the injury, where's the running game at? How's the offensive line look?
Well, that's those two points are interesting, I think, from Denver's perspective. You know, C.J., missing him for the next 8 weeks at least, that's a big blow. I mean, this is a guy that in this style of offense, I mean, they count on those two backs, C.J. Anderson being the first one, to really be powerful in the inside runs, to break tackles. I mean, this is a run-first offense, no doubt about that. So when you lose a guy like C.J., that's a blow. And then Devontae Booker, who I've been so high on this year, the fourth-round draft choice, he gets his first start last week against San Diego. That was the first time the Broncos had a rookie running back start since back in 09, and he's banged up in the first series. Had a shoulder problem, missed, I think, three or four series, came back in and finished the game, but they weren't productive in the running game at all against San Diego. And that's the second game that they've played the Chargers, obviously, so far this year, that they haven't been able to get it done up front. Whether Booker is able to play or not, we'll see. They've listed him as day-to-day. But the running back position right now for the Broncos is one that's a tad bit worrisome. And then up front, they've had moments in which they've played really well. Thought they opened the season playing good football. Rushed for over 140 yards against Carolina. Came back against the Colts. Played well. And then they had injuries to both Donald Stevenson, the tackle. Russell Okung has missed some time. And they just haven't been the same. They've had a hard time getting healthy guys on the field at the same time. Virgil Green, who's their best blocking tight end, missed three games with a calf strain. And so you go back and they had them all together this past week, and yet they didn't have, you know, they certainly didn't win the battle all the time up front against the Chargers. So I know that's been a point of emphasis this week for Gary and the staff.
Dave Logan joins us. Dave, how good is this defense compared to the Super Bowl roster that won it all?
You know what, JT, they're pretty good. I think the one area that I would concern me a little bit is they haven't been as stout against the running game as I thought they would. The back end is sensational. I know they've given up some yards, and San Diego creased them a little bit, and they haven't been a great defense coming out of the locker room. They haven't had great starts, although they did get off the field against the Chargers most recently. But prior to that, in the seven games, and they'd given up a score in six of those seven on the opening possession, and four of those six had been touchdowns. So not a quick starting defense, and yet you look at them statistically, they're in the top five in terms of points allowed, top five in pass defense, but they've got to shore up that run defense a little bit, and that's something they continue to work on week by week.
Wrapping up with Dave Logan. Dave, finally on Derek Carr and his play. Obviously, the Bay Area, the Raider Nation, is really fired up for the way he's maturing and playing, breaking the single-game franchise mark for yards in overtime against Tampa Bay. You've called some of his games already. Assess Carr and his ability coming into this matchup, because this is clearly the best defense he's faced.
Yeah, you and I have talked about this. Even when the Raiders drafted Derek Carr, I was a Derek Carr fan and always had a belief that, you know, if given a chance to sort of mature, that he could turn into a good quarterback. And he is all of that and more. I mean, I know, as you mentioned, what he did last week, and only two other quarterbacks have ever thrown for 500-plus yards and four touchdowns and no interceptions. Now, that's elite company. I think he's got all the makings of a franchise quarterback, which is great news for the Raiders. I mean, if I'm living in Oakland, I'd be really fired up about this young guy, because I think he's got all the goods. I think the matchup with the Raiders offense and the Broncos defense is really an interesting one. You know, the key to any successful pass offense is, can you protect that quarterback? Can you give time for the receivers to run routes? And it's easy to sit on a board, and all football coaches at every level do it. And you draw up all these routes, and they look good. And then the last component of that is, how do we protect the team that we're playing against? And from the Broncos standpoint, that's the best thing they do. Their edge pass rushers, when they can get you in second and long and third and long, passing situations where they know and you know you have to throw the ball and you have to protect it, that's when they're at their best. So to me, for Oakland, it's going to be important that they stay in sequence and that they stay first and second down and have reasonable success and get out of those third down and six-plus opportunities for the Broncos to tee off and rush the passer. But I think it's going to be a great matchup. It's the first time in a long time that when these two teams do battle, there's a lot at stake. I mean, first place in the AFC West is at stake, and we're in the second half of the season. So I think it's outstanding.
Dave, on a personal note, we both have radio shows, but you're a very successful high school football coach, plus with being the voice of the Broncos. Lastly, how do you balance it all? Because I see Greg Popp all the time. I know the play-by-play voices around the league, but it seems like your plate has never been this full. How do you balance it all?
Well, you know what, and you and I've talked about this too. I've been really blessed. I've done the Bronco games for 27 years. I've been a head coach in high school for 24 years. I do a show nowadays instead of in the afternoon drive, where I do a show 10 to noon, and then I'm at the school for the rest of the day, and so I'm able to, you know, script practice and do everything I need to do. And I've never missed a game in 24 years. I've never missed a Bronco game in 27 years. So, working with kids, I think, is the absolute best. It not only keeps you young, but you can impact these young guys at a very early age and hopefully teach them a few life lessons, and then enjoy watching them go to the various colleges they go to and have a little success there, and stay in touch and watch them then get into the real world that we're in and grow and have families. And it's just it's a great opportunity to really establish a lifelong relationship, at least it has been for me, with a number of young guys. So I'm blessed and really happy I can do it.
Thank you so much, Dave. All the best. Great talking to you again.
You as well, JT.